people, specifically the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples here in what we would call Vancouver.
In non-Indigenous cultures, there's this misconception that it means one thing. It's a very box idea, but that's not what that means to you at all.
No, it does not. The way that I look at Two-Spirit is that Two-Spirit is a placeholder, or another way of looking at it as Two-Spirit is a community organizing tool and or strategy. And it is used to identify those individuals that we would say that are Indigenous to Turtle Island and lay somewhere on the gender spectrum and or the sexual orientation spectrum. And when you have the intersectionality of those two major concepts, it opens up the possibility for that individual to answer the call of Two-Spirit. So if you're not Indigenous and you're not LGBTQ, GNC identified, then you can't use the term Two-Spirit. So we're walling it off so that we can organize that community. But then once they answer that call, then it becomes a nation-specific conversation. So in my language, I would not have been known as a man or a woman. I would have been known as an Iyakwe. And so that's how we say Two-Spirit in Cree. And then the work is within a decolonizing framework and also centering one's ingenuity, that it becomes this conversation of what does it mean to be a Iyakwe? Who is a Iyakwe? And what is my role and purpose as an Iyakwe for my Cree people?
What role have you taken on as an Iyakwe?
As a mediator, someone who swoops back and forth, you know, like I'm in public health, I'm in health work for my community and working for a better tomorrow for our community. You know, there's many, many things that I do.
I know when we first chatted a few weeks ago, you mentioned that in order to continue the process of decolonization and to continue healing within communities, it was really important to make space for Two-Spirit people, because that's been lacking. Do you mind touching on that a bit?
Sure. I think that what you bring up is a really incredible point. And I take, because I'm an activist, I take a really kind of like a hard stand around this conversation. And that's just because of living in New York for so long. But what I work under this framework that if we are forced to identify as a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, gender nonconforming, gender non-binary, Native person or Indigenous person, is that I take that as an act of colonization. Because we don't have those concepts within our language. Like, for a Iyakwe, it translates into one who dresses like a woman. And so many of the programs and outreach material as well as funding mechanisms is only for LGBTQ people. So where do we see the creation of that space for our Two-Spirit people and our ways? Because we are speaking a completely different language. And then I also take a stance that if we as Native people only identify as LGBTQ because we don't know of our teachings and we don't know of our ways, like when I know that I'm highly privileged when I say Niha Iyakwe in my own language, I am Two-Spirit. But if we don't know those teachings and we don't know those ways, I take that as an act of self-colonization. And we must work to educate so that people can free their hearts and their minds so that they know that there is a time in which that we predate these Western ways and these concepts like LGBTQ, GNC, or gender non-binary, or whatever we want to use as a of those other identities. We only see programming for LGBT people or LGBTQ people. I take that as an act of colonization. That is becomes a site of its colonization today. Also, if we do not know who we are as Native people and we don't know our teachings, I take that as an act of self-colonization.
I asked Harlan about the responsiveness of Vancouver's Indigenous queer community to Two-Spirit people.
I believe it still needs a little bit of work. I know that great strides have been made. Like, if you look at community, they now have a tagline. It used to just be the home of Vancouver's queer community, but starting 18 months ago, they changed and they made the legal change to community, home of Vancouver's queer, trans and Two-Spirit community. And then they've also gone as far as to hire an Indigenous staff member so that the community sees themselves reflective within the name of the organization and their tagline, as well as when they walk in, there's Native staff members. They see themselves within the organization. And I think that's a really good positive example, right? But I've also witnessed and seen many other folks that, like, just tag on 2S to the acronym of LGBTQ GNC, and they just say tack on 2S, right? But yet the framing and the conversation is not inclusive of us. They're treating us like LGBT Native people. They're making us bend to their ways. So there's also, you know, that's an example of, like, that's colonization, right? If you just are in name only adding Two-Spirit, but you're still talking to us as gays and lesbians who happen to be Native and use that same Western framework, that's colonization. And it's also tokenism, and also I think it's a little insulting when people just tack on Two-Spirit, but they don't actually make the accommodations for us, because we have a unique position and a unique conversation. Simple things like you cannot make pronouncements like the birth of the gay rights movement was June 27th, 1969, right? Qualify that as in the birth of the non-native gay rights was that. Prior to colonization or, you know, contact, whatever you want to call it, right? There was a time on this land that people who were engaged in same-sex civil marriages had full equality and citizenship and were honored, respected within their communities. But as a result of colonization, they were pushed from their people, ways, and land. You know, what I'm also directly want to say here is that when people who are not Native, when they're offering a pathway for salvation or a pathway for equality, that call is not inclusive of that history that we were here before them. It runs the risk of being this presumption of innocence. You know, and they're like, here, this is our pathway for equality and this is a pathway for salvation, right? But if they don't include us, what they're basically saying, and they're not copping to the fact that it is because of their Western ways that totally messed it over for us as Two-Spirit people. And you're going to get a completely different conversation and a framing for any pathway for equality or salvation when that begins with us as Indigenous and Two-Spirit people, because they're going to have to change their conversation, as well as the historical significance. It's going to frame the conversation differently. But it is also what reconciliation is asking them to do, where so many people rush in and they want to do good deeds and they want to, like, fight for LGBT and queer rights, and they want to gloss over this history of us as Two-Spirit people. And that's where I say there's this implicit presumption of innocence. They're not innocent. Their Western ways, that history, totally messed it over for us as Two-Spirit people. Listening, I think, is one thing, but two, there is something that is active within reconciliation. You cannot think of yourself out of reconciliation. So reconciliation for non-Native people is for them to know our history, their history, so that they are not washing their hands and there's a presumption of innocence. They must know this history. Then what they have to do is to accommodate and create space for that history, that experience, for us who are Two-Spirit. And then when they create a space of that reality and of that history and that experience, they are going to fundamentally have a different discourse and a different conversation, because they're not going to be making these broad, swathy, like, here's the pathway for equality, or this is the pathway for, no, that's yours. I don't know what that conversation would look like, because that's what their work is that they were like, wow, there was a time in which that there were people that were engaged in same-sex civil marriages and who had full equality and were for, what did that system look like? And what is the relevancy of that within a contemporary setting? And what is the application or the utilization of that experience?
And what kind of applications do you envision at the community level, at the city level?
Like, I think that there has to be some sort of attentiveness for my Cree ways. I can only speak for my Cree ways in that, you know, for our Cree people, we had four genders, right? So So how do we have a conversation that is inclusive of four different genders? And also, it is like getting to know the Coast Salish people here in Vancouver, getting to know what how they conceived of Two-Spirit. So it may be more than two genders. We have to dig in and do that work. And then when you have that knowledge of the folks, you're going to have a much more subtle, rich, nuanced conversation, and it will not be within this Western binary way. So that, I think, is that's what reconciliation is asking us to do, is to reconcile this history, but then to apply that history within a contemporary or a modern day setting that is not replicating those systems of oppression that were used to mess it over for us as Two-Spirit people, but just us as Native people.
One of the many roles that Harlan takes on is editor of the Two-Spirit Journal.
It is a multi-platform, interactive Two-Spirit news site. So what's really kind of cool about this site is it's for the community, by the community. So if you don't know anything about Two-Spirit, the site is not really going to help you because, you know, we know who we are, and so we just skip to straight content of like, oh, these are some happenings that are happening within the community. It's kind of a unique experience in that we don't define who we are because we kind of know who we are.
You mentioned that the Two-Spirit Journal was more for people that were Two-Spirit themselves. Are there resources that you want to direct people to if they want to learn more about the Two-Spirit community?
There are multiple webinars of recordings. So I think like the Department of Education at the University of Alberta recorded, and there's like an hour-long lecture that has been videotaped and it's up online. And I think you just type in Harlan Pruden UBC and it'll take you right to that. And there's also books, there's movies. What I will do is later on is I'll do a post on a Two-Spirit resource directory, and I'll just pop it up on the site so that people, if they go there, they can like download the Two-Spirit resource directory that's chock full of information on webinars and conversations and selected bibliography and trainings. And so I'll later on, what I will do is make sure that there is a live page for the Two-Spirit Resource Directory.
Harlan provided me with some final thoughts on both his identity and the greater context of reconciliation.
When someone asks me, who are you? I don't think of gay, I don't think of Two-Spirit. What comes out of my mouth first is, I am Cree. That's who I am. But within that statement of who I am as a Cree, I see myself as a Yahqueh and Two-Spirit. Secondly, is that for reconciliation, is that I know that the calls to actions, the 94 calls to actions, don't include a specific bullet or gay, lesbian, or trans and bisexual Native folks are not included in the 94 calls to action. However, in my reading of it, is that because we're not asking for a separate space and a separate standalone, it is about reclaiming and restoring our place of honor and respect for our Two-Spirit people, amending of the sacred hoop. If you take, for example, the 14th recommendation around language preservation and retention, we cannot be selective in what language and or what is preserved. And so I've collected about 130 terms within our own Indigenous languages that name and call out and identify our Two-Spirit people. So the 14th recommendation speaks to that of like saying reclaim and restore those words like Ayakwe, Ihamana, Agukwe, Winkde, all of those words of who we are as Two-Spirit people is included in that 14th recommendation. So when I read the 94 calls to action, is I see myself completely infused in all 94. And I think that for LGBT, queer, non-Native organizations, I think what they have to do is they have to engage and look at those 94 recommendations around the implementation and embracing and the operationalizing a lens of reconciliation.
And that was Harlan Pruden speaking of the place of Two-Spirit people within frameworks of decolonization and the queer community. I'd like to sincerely thank Harlan for agreeing to take the time to speak with me and share his knowledge.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine.